Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. If you could have heard the off-air conversation we were just having with Chad's producer, Phil, we probably wouldn't let us back on the air. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show. We're filling in for Chad Benson this week. 844-DIG-CHAD. 844-344-2423. Twitter at Chad Benson Show. The Hammer and Nigel Show is who we are. I'm Nigel. That's Hammer over there. Hope you had a safe and successful holiday weekend, my friend.
I had a very safe holiday weekend because I don't live in Chicago, Illinois. Chicago is an absolute hellhole right now. When December 1st rolled around, December 1st, they were already over 700 murders in Chicago. Just over the weekend, Christmas weekend, where everybody's supposed to be filled with joy and hope and happiness, 43 people were shot, 11 fatally in Chicago.
This was over the past couple days, Christmas weekend.
Since Friday,
jeez.
43 people shot, 11 killed. And this is supposed to be in a state, in Illinois, where strict gun laws are in place. This is President Barack Obama's backyard, Chicago, Illinois. He's done many events in Grant Park right there. And instead of addressing this issue over the weekend, President Obama instead talked about how if he were allowed to run for president, he would probably win a third term.
I'm confident that if I had run again and articulated it, I think I could have mobilized a majority of the American people to rally behind it.
So let's recap. Instead of focusing on 43 people shot in a safe gun area, you're talking about how you could easily win a third term. Nigel, you know what this reminds me a little bit of? President Obama going out of his way to say he could win a third term reminds me a little bit of Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite and how he could throw a football over the mountains.
Hold on. What? You're comparing Obama to Uncle Rico?
Win a third term is the all-new I could throw a football over the mountains.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
Okay.
I could win a third term is the all-new if the coach would have kept me in.
If coach would have put me in fourth quarter, we'd have been state champions.
Okay.
I can't be the only one that sees the correlation there.
The Uncle Rico Obama comparison didn't make sense to me before, but yes, all right. I could have won a third term. It is very comparable to I could throw a football over the mountain.
How much you want
to
make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
By the way, just as a side note, Napoleon Dynamite, one of the all-time comedies. 2004, 2005, one of my favorites. I remember going down to Florida with my buddies, and we brought the Anchorman. We brought two DVDs with us, Anchorman and Napoleon Dynamite, and we had both those on repeat, just in the background the entire time, didn't watch anything else.
Another thing that bothers me a little bit about this whole Chicago situation is, again, Hammer and Nigel Show, we do our show from Indianapolis, Indiana. This is where we call our home. The state of Illinois blames Indiana for a lot of their gun problems. They mentioned that these guns come across the border to Chicago from Indiana because of the lax gun laws.
I got an idea. How about building a wall? Just build a wall around Chicago. That should take care of everything.
All the crime will stop. Build a big wall around Chicago, and we'll see what the problem really is.
You know, the thing, Hammer, that I think about when I hear those. What were the statistics again over the weekend in Chicago?
43 people shot, 11 fatally, and two of them shot fatally at a Christmas party Sunday night.
You know, the innocent people that live in those areas, and I'm assuming most of the areas that these are the bad areas of Chicago. There's people that live there and have to wake up and deal with that every single day of their lives.
Right.
And it's depressing to think about because people have kids, people that can't afford to move out of where they're at to a area that's not as high a crime rate. And they have to wake up and wonder, is today the day I'm getting carjacked? Every day that goes through their mind.
Right. And the problem, a lot of these are bad guy on bad guy crimes, and I completely get that. It's drug dealers killing other drug dealers. It's gang members killing other gang members. But so often, you know, there are stray bullets. Kids will get killed in a crossfire. Somebody standing in their front lawn will get killed in a crossfire. And this is not going to change. This is a horrific circle of life because even compared to this time last year, only 30 people were shot in Chicago over Christmas weekend the previous year. This year, 43. So it's on the rise. It's not getting any better. It's getting worse. And I don't know if it's, you know, a gun problem. Or if it's the drug problem, because to me, the most underreported story in all of America right now is the drug use. And I'm not talking about weed or legal weed or any of that crap. I'm talking about heroin. I'm talking about meth, cocaine, and it happens in every city. It doesn't matter if you live in a rich suburb of Beverly Hills or somewhere in a trailer park in Alabama. I'm guaranteeing you there's a drug problem somewhere in your city.
Yeah, I live in a really small town. And it's prevalent there. I grew up in a really small town, and I no longer live there. I graduated with like 94 people, and it was bad then. And I just don't know what the answer is. Is the answer to legalize everything?
No, not at all.
No?
It's just you can't stop a crazy son of a blank. And right now in Chicago, all the crazy sons of blanks are in one area. And I'm not blaming all of Chicago. I'm sure if you get up to Wrigleyville, it's going to be a lot better than if you're staying downtown somewhere in the heart of Chicago. I get that. And I understand it's bad guy on bad guy violence. But the fact that this is happening in the president's backyard and that all people should care about it, you would think it'd be Barack Obama, being how he is from here.
Yeah, I know. He can't comment on every story and every statistic, Hammer, though. I mean, like, I understand what you're saying. He's on vacation in Honolulu right now.
But you can comment on a story, though, where 700 people have been murdered in your city. Chicago is worse than Detroit. It's worse than the Bronx. It's worse than Compton. It's the worst place in America right now. It's not like it's some sort of outlier of, well, let's just look at his hometown. No, this place is out of control, and it's horrific.
People got to grow up in that environment. And it's like a cycle of, it's like a never-ending cycle of people that grow up in that environment, broken homes, drug-addicted parents, and what can you do? What can you do about something like that? What is it?
So here's the deal. Shoot us off a tweet. We are on Twitter at Hammer and Nigel. It's all one word, at Hammer and Nigel. And let us know if I'm overreacting here. Doesn't this warrant some sort of statement from the president that his hometown is out of control instead of talking about how if you could, you would have a third term? That just seems like it's complete BS to me. And it's Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. That's all it is.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
Just on a side note, you think Obama and his wife are just completely bummed that they got to move out of the White House. I can imagine what that feeling feels like. 8 years gone by and we got to go.
Moving in general sucks anyway. It doesn't matter if you're moving from an apartment to a house to an apartment. But when you've got everything at your disposal like that, it's got to suck.
Coming up next, we're going to take a look back. Right, Hammer? This has been an interesting year. We lost a lot of people in 2016. We had a lot. This was a very interesting year in politics, to say the least. Is that an understatement?
We learned a lot of things in politics this year, including the fact that Ted Cruz is an odd duck.
He's got some we've got a lot of audio here in this next segment that we're going to play for you, and that's next. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show. Tweet at us at Hammer and Nigel. We're filling in for Chad Benson. We'll be back.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
The Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson tonight. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, the phone number, at Chad Benson Show or at Hammer and Nigel. My name is Nigel, that's Jason Hammer, sitting across from me over there. It's been an interesting 2016, and I think one of the things we're going to do this week for a few segments each night, we're going to take a look back, right?
You can't work in radio the week of New Year without looking back at the previous year. It's like the most cliche thing in the world, right?
There's been some good stuff this year. I mean, I'm talking audio clips, live TV news bloopers, weirdo Ted Cruz.
And that's what we're going to focus on right now. In the past, you know, 300 plus days, there have been a lot of weird things, but very few have been as weird and as awkward as Ted Cruz in the public spotlight. And we start with the rumor that he was the Zodiac Killer, because that flew around social media.
Who? Do we know what the Zodiac Killer looks like, or is it just
Ted Cruz? That's what the Zodiac Killer looks like.
Was it Ted Cruz on Maury?
I believe that was a transgender person, but there was a meme floating around about that as well.
That did look dead on Ted Cruz.
There was a rumor that Ted Cruz's father had conspired with Lee Harvey Oswald, and Donald Trump kind of talked about that with Fox and Friends in the morning one morning.
Did he use that in the debate?
Yes.
That is awkward.
2016 for Ted Cruz was filled with awkward hugs, awkward handshakes, weird speeches and appearances. 2016 was a year in which Ted Cruz elbowed his wife in the face three times during a concession speech.
I forgot about that. Was after he was done, he was hugging somebody else up there at the podium, but his wife was kind of left out, and he just nailed her with his elbow like three times in the nose.
Oh, poor Heidi. She went through some hell in 2016. He was going in for a hug of one of his staffers, and as awkward as he is, like a newborn fawn, Ted Cruz didn't know how to react, and his elbow was out of control, and boom, popped his wife in the face three times in a row. We just put this out on Twitter. We put the video out there right now on Twitter, at Hammer and Nigel. So if you want to see Ted Cruz and his awkward awesomeness elbowing his wife three times in the face, feel free to go do that. 2016 was a year that Ted Cruz, while trailing in the polls, picked a running mate 6 days before dropping out.
Oops. That was non-eventful.
Yep. Carly Fiorina, come on board. We're going to shake things up. Got blown out in Indiana. Boom goes the dynamite. Some of my favorite Ted Cruz moments, though, Nige, were when happening during the debates. Do you remember the one debate? I believe it was a CBS debate. The stage was all red. It kind of looked like a whorehouse in the background, pink and red.
What?
This was one where actually Donald Trump was being quiet.
I wouldn't know what a whorehouse looked like.
Sure you wouldn't. This was when Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio kind of had a little back and forth.
Okay.
And Ted Cruz tried to speak Spanish to Marco Rubio.
Marco went on Univision in Spanish and said he would not rescind President Obama's illegal executive amnesty on his first day in office. I have promised to rescind every single illegal executive action, including that one.
First of all, I don't know how he knows what I said on Univision because he doesn't speak Spanish.
Oh.
And second of all, the other point that I would make.
Marco, si quiere, díselo ahora mismo, díselo ahora. En español, si quiere.
Wow, I hadn't heard that.
Ted Cruz is speaking Spanish to Marco Rubio.
Díselo ahora mismo, díselo ahora. En español, si quiere.
You know what he sounds like there? He reminds me of Smokey in the movie Friday. Chris Tucker's character that he played with Ice Cube, Friday. Remember when he was talking like pig Spanish to the dude?
Este! Quíteme, manoto, me decime que me neto, más directo. ¿Quién es otro? Si quiere, díselo ahora mismo, díselo ahora.
That's Smokey from Friday.
Smokey from Friday. It's not Ted Cruz.
Quíteme, manoto, me decime que me neto, más directo. ¿Quién es otro? Si quiere, díselo ahora mismo, díselo ahora. En español.
So that was fun. That's Ted Cruz in his, you know, most awkward phase. Another one came during kind of like a sit-down interview with Anderson Cooper on CNN. It was kind of a meet the candidates thing. And Anderson Cooper asked his wife, Heidi, about their honeymoon. And instead of going into normal honeymoon things, you know, making out, spending time together, Ted Cruz went and bought soup.
Your wedding night in cans of soup. What? For those who didn't see that, can you explain this?
When I married Ted, we got back from our honeymoon, and he went off to the store and came home by himself. And I was completely shocked to see that he arrived back at our apartment with literally 100 cans of Campbell's chunky soup. I never bought 100 of anything.
Shocked. Were you weird. Really, really shocked, Heidi? I don't think anybody was. Ted Cruz made a very awkward speech about queso dip in this past year, and I can't even begin to describe why he went into detail about queso dip the way that he did, but it sounded like he was in love with queso dip.
Good queso relaxes you. Look, if cheese dip can be served on a Ritz cracker or with one of those tiny Vienna sausages, queso is made to be scooped up with tortilla chips, dribbling down your chin and onto your shirt.
What?
One is a visceral, emotional, powerful family bond as you and your kids pour in the nachos covered in queso. The other is party favors at an afternoon tea.
The hell are you talking about?
It's getting ridiculous. We have
so what we've done is we've taken that clip, and to make it sound even more sexy, we've put Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On behind it.
Queso is made to be scooped up with tortilla chips, dribbling down your chin and onto your shirt. One is a visceral, emotional power.
All right. That's a beautiful thing.
Year in review, 2016, Ted Cruz being weird. It came right here in our backyard of Indianapolis, Indiana, a basketball hotbed. Ted Cruz came to town and didn't call it a basketball hoop, didn't call it a rim. He called it a ring.
That basketball ring. That basketball ring. Here in Indiana, it's the same height as it is in New York City and every other place in this country.
I see what he's trying to do, the old Hoosiers from the movie Hoosiers.
Right,
thing.
Trying to channel the Hoosiers thing. So Donald Trump comes to Indiana, gets the endorsement of Bob Knight, former Purdue coach Gene Katie. Ted Cruz comes here and calls it a basketball ring. So what we've done at the Hammer and Nigel show is we had a little fun with
Actually, I don't think we have time to play. We'll tease this for the next break.
Okay.
We've got a Ted Cruz remix, right? Is that what we're going to
We've put together a special mix for Ted Cruz and his weirdness.
Another remix coming up having to do with that basketball ring. He kind of sounds like he's doing a bad impression of George Bush. Where'd it go here? I had it. Where is it?
Good queso.
Good queso. All right, it's Amber and Nigel show. Back for Chad Benson in a minute.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson this week. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, at Chad Benson Show, or at Hammer and Nigel. I'm Nigel, that's Hammer, and that audio of Ted Cruz yelling at Marco Rubio in Spanish is priceless.
Nobody had a more bizarre year than Ted Cruz did. And again, when he tried to yell at Marco Rubio in Spanish, you're absolutely right. It sounded a little bit like Smokey from the movie Friday.
Marco, si quiere, díselo ahora mismo, díselo ahora, en español.
Este, me decime que le tomar de esto.
Okay.
And to cap it all off, Ted Cruz tries to come to Indiana, where he has to win to stay alive, and he butchers a basketball reference.
What's he referring? He's referring to the hoop. He's going to the hoop, right?
The hoop, right? Or the rim. We'll even take the rim.
We'll take the rim.
But nobody calls it a ring. Nobody.
Where are we at?
It's not a basketball ring.
That basketball ring. Here in Indiana, it's the same height as it is in New York City and every other place in this country.
So he's trying to channel Gene Hackman in Hoosiers.
The election was over at that point. Donald Trump had secured the endorsement of Bob Knight. He had secured the endorsement of former Purdue coach Gene Katie. And Ted Cruz comes and calls it a ring. How's that working out for you, Ted? So what we did here at the Hammer and Nigel Show was we took the spirit of the ring and made a special album in honor of Ted Cruz.
You've heard Ted Cruz deliver his amazing speech at the Hoosiers Gym in Knightstown.
That basketball ring here in Indiana, it's the same height as it is in New York City and every other place in this country.
And now, Hammer and Nigel Records want you to relive some of those amazing moments with this all-new album, Ted Cruz, The Duets. Ted Cruz performing your favorite R&B songs with your favorite superstars, like Beyonce.
Ring.
Anita Ward.
Ring.
And even Dr. Dre.
Keep the heads ringing.
Ring.
The doctor.
Ring.
And if you order right now, you'll get this special bonus track.
I fell into a burning
ring.
Ted Cruz, The Duets, available on Hammer and Nigel Records.
And it burns, burns, burns.
The ring.
Ted Cruz's new album.
The Ring. Ted Cruz celebrating a awkward 2016.
Here's the thing I don't get about Ted Cruz. Because him and Donald Trump were mortal enemies during the election process, were they not? I mean, Donald Trump tweeting out negative comments about Heidi, Cruz's wife, right?
Sure.
Do you remember that?
His father, all kinds of stuff.
They were neck and neck. They hated each other. Hated each other. And then, lo and behold, Trump wins that election. And a couple days afterwards, him and Ted Cruz are having dinner together.
They
take meetings. I don't understand. I really, to this day, don't. I guess I just don't understand politics that well because there's really Trump. Everybody hated Trump. There's no shortage of people, politicians, going off on Trump, saying mean things to Trump. So he didn't really have a lot to choose from as far as calling meetings, taking advice, getting people right.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I can't believe.
It's funny how things turn out when you have power and when you're the guy and when you have power, a lot of people all of a sudden see a completely different side of you. And it's like that, not only in politics, that's business too. Let's be honest. You can't stand my guts, but if I become your boss, you will probably be more nice to me. That's just the way things work. And Donald Trump has that. And to his credit, I will give Donald Trump this much. He's been open to it. He hasn't held any grudges. He hasn't been, you know, over the top ridiculous.
He's not even sending Hillary to jail.
No. Which he promised he would.
I never thought for a minute he'd follow through with that. Not for a minute. I never believed that at all.
I would have loved to have seen it, though. I got to be honest. Picturing Pantsuit Patty sitting in the paddy wagon, it doesn't get any better than that. Speaking of people who have had a rough 2016, we're approaching the one-year anniversary of the kid that has been locked up in North Korea. Do you remember this story?
Otto Warmbier.
Otto Warmbier.
This dude was literally minutes away from boarding a plane back to America when armed security officers dragged him out of the airport into a year-long nightmare that and nobody can do anything about it. What? First of all, what was this kid doing there?
You took a tour group, the Young Pioneers Tour to North Korea, which is a red flag in itself. If your tour group is taking volunteers to go to North Korea, take the old Nancy Reagan oath and just say no.
If you have the option, the opportunity to go to North Korea, all expenses paid?
No.
Do you go? You still
no.
Don't go?
You could put me up in the Waldorf Astoria of Syria, and I want no part of Syria. I don't want to go to Afghanistan, and I sure as hell don't want to go to North Korea.
So this kid, what is he, like 21? Yeah, 21-year-old University of Virginia undergrad student. Man, sentenced this year to 15 years of hard labor for, I don't know, what's being described as committing a hostile act against the state.
There were some theft issues. He took some signage off of some places in North Korea where you were told, don't touch. Well, he touched it. There's video. And he got sentenced to hard labor in North Korea.
What does hard labor consist of, do you think, in North Korea? Are you, like, out there with a sledgehammer busting up rocks?
I would imagine
that's,
so.
That's like, you know, you're on a chain gang.
It's got to be prison-like. Very old school, like 1960s prison-like.
I'm not trying to be flip about this. This guy's family is going through hell right now, and there's very little, if nothing, can be done about it. 15 years hard labor. I think North Korea, probably what they're doing is using him as some kind of pawn. They're going to get some money, maybe some sanctions lifted or something at some point.
Well, the precedent has been set by Obama that if you bitch long enough, maybe you'll get some ransom money. But I'm sorry, I understand this kid's family is going through hell, and nobody wants that for their children, and you definitely would want some help. But at the same time, you went to another country. You broke the law. You broke the law in a country where, let's be honest, you probably shouldn't be in. You can't be shocked at the ramifications. This goes back a few years ago to the kid that went down to Singapore and got the caning. And everybody had their undies in an uproar over that. You don't want your son to be caned. Don't go there and break the law.
How about not just forget about breaking the law? Don't go there. Don't go to North Korea. I'm at a point in my life, and this is sad, where I don't want to leave my basement.
No, that's great.
Hammer, my wife wants to go on a European vacation so bad. She wants to go to Italy and Germany, Rome. She wants to do the whole thing. And I'm like, well, I work in radio, first of all. There's no way we can afford a European vacation. Second, even if I could afford it, I wouldn't want to go overseas right now. As bad as that sounds, I'm just being honest. I'm not going to England right now. I'm not going to Germany. I'm not going over there right now.
Don't go to France. It's bad.
It could turn out to be a bad scene. And yes, maybe I'm scared. Maybe the terrorists are winning in this regard. But I'm not going to Europe, let alone on a tour group to North Korea.
Sometimes there's a lesson to be learned even when situations are bad. This is a bad situation. And again, I can't even imagine being a parent of this person right now.
Because as a parent watching this kid on TV being dragged from the courtroom, you've seen that footage after they sentence him to 15 years. He's crying. The guards are dragging him out of the courtroom. It looks like they're kind of forcing him around, pushing him around a little bit. It's ugly.
You get out of the United States, man, it's all bets off. You can't be a jackass in other countries and expect them just to say, oh, you're being wacky. Oh, you're making a Facebook post. Go ahead. No, Kim Jong-un is not a wacky guy. He doesn't find the humor in you stealing something from a wall or a sign or whatever it may be. It's different in other countries. That is the lesson to be learned here. If you're going to go overseas, you better learn the laws of overseas, and you sure as hell better pay attention and not break those laws.
Former U.S. ambassador to the UN and ex-New Mexico governor Bill Richardson told Fox News he's kind of dealing with the North Koreans in this. He said the progress in getting Otto Warmbier back has been slow, but said North Korea accepted a delegation from his foundation in September, but it's been so slow, and they really haven't heard anything since then.
Gordon Chang, who's an expert on Asian relations to the United States, made a great point. You know they're probably pushing tons of propaganda on this kid right now, too. The only news he's seeing is probably anti-American, anti-government. They're probably telling him the United States doesn't want you back or you'd be back there by now. Lord knows what's going on in his mind. But the lesson is, don't put yourself in that situation. Maybe a tour to North Korea, not a good idea.
Okay, we're filling in for Chad Benson this week. We are the Hammer and Nigel Show. Coming up next, Hammer, the good guys win one. Strike one up for the good guys. That's next. The Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson. Girls don't. Good girls don't. I should be telling you good girls don't. But I do. So you call her on the phone. You're listening to the Chad Benson Show. The Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson tonight and all this week. Big thanks to Chad for letting us fill in. 844-DIG-CHAD is the phone number. 844-344-2423 at Chad Benson Show or at Hammer and Nigel. I'm Nigel. That's Jason Hammer over there. How you doing, man?
I'm excited when people who are trying to be a-holes get out a-holed. Does that make sense?
These guys. This is, Dateline Boca Raton, Florida. A 300-pound metal sculpture of a satanic pentagram erected as an atheist protest to public parks' nativity scene was severely damaged when it was pulled to the ground by vandals. So let me reset this here. The nativity scene wasn't damaged.
No.
Somebody had put up a pentagram, a satanic pentagram, in this public park as a protest to the nativity scene.
Okay.
So this is a real, this is good versus evil, Hammer. This is like Lucifer versus Gabriel.
This is Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning
this
right here.
This is Satan versus sweet baby Jesus. It appeared the enemies of Lucifer had attached a chain from a vehicle to the sculpture, yanked it down, dragged it several feet. And again, yes, these guys are trying to be, it's a public park, so if you have a nativity scene, technically, if you want to put up a pentagram, you're allowed to do so. Boca Raton police say this was the third attack on the sculpture this month. This is great. Back in 2013 and 2014, a Christian group had placed a manger there, those displays, and then to protest the manger back in 2013. There were displays included a Festivus pole made of beer cans.
A Festivus pole? That was the big protest.
That was the protest back in 2013 when the nativity scene in the public park in Boca Raton.
Things have gotten a little bit more mean as the years have gone by.
Yeah, the sculpture sat 20 feet away from the traditional nativity scene, Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus. And behind the sculpture was a banner from the atheist group reading, "Keep Saturn in Saturnalius." Keep Saturn in Saturnalias, which is a reference. It's a reference to that belief that the Christian church substituted Christmas for Roman pagan holidays and put Christ back in Christmas. So these guys are being true a-holes, these atheists that were, but you never really hear of people fighting back against those kinds of protests, do you?
No. Usually lawyers get involved and it gets on the news and it's a big pain in the ass. In this case, though, in my mind, this is what transpired. At least I hope. Somebody had had about six or seven old Milwaukees and they got into their old red truck. Their dog was next to them in the front seat.
They had a gun rack in the back.
Gun rack in the back, big bumper with a rope on it. They drove to the park and vowed to save Christmas. They vowed to save Christmas. They lassoed the pentagram.
They chained up that satanic pentagram, peeled out, and pulled that sucker right out of the ground.
There's a sticker of Calvin going to the restroom on like a Jeff Gordon number in the back of the window. And he dropped the hammer, man. Went from 0 to 60 in about 3 seconds.
I'm saving Christmas. I'm saving the baby Jesus. Get this Satan out of here.
Open container sitting in the front seat, man. And I'm all right with that. I'm completely all right with that. I like it when the good people fight back using dirty tactics. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because you really never see something like this. You never see, like, if anything, you see somebody vandalize the nativity scene.
Right.
All right.
In our backyard here in Indiana, there's a city named Knightstown where there was a big controversy about a Christmas tree.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
originally, there was a big cross on top of the Christmas tree in City Square.
This made national news. This made, like, Fox News. This Christmas tree on the town square had a big wooden cross high atop it, right? And then the ACLU got involved, and they took it down.
And then a couple of weeks later, you drove around Knightstown, and what happened? All the good people had kind of got together again. They put all these crosses around the town, and they all glowed in the dark. It looked like if the Vatican and Las Vegas had a kid. And it was amazing to look at, because sometimes you push people far enough, and I think the Christians might be at this point now, you push them far enough, they're going to fight back. And it was hilarious, and it was brilliant to see all the glow-in-the-dark crosses in Knightstown, Indiana.
And by the way, they came to a decision in Knightstown. They put that cross back on the tree, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Well, they kind of reached a decision. The ACLU decided that a cross on top of the tree was offensive, but down 2 feet to the right was perfectly fine.
That's right. They said they came to a compromise. They put the cross on the side of the tree, not the very top.
Yeah.
So what you guys are saying is location, location, location.
Yes.
On top of the tree, Hammer, offensive.
Very offensive, yes.
Now, but could you imagine, the ACLU lawyer there with the crane? All right, bring it down a few feet.
Offensive.
A few feet lower, still offensive, still offensive. Move it over to the right a few.
Not offensive.
Not offensive.
Not offended. Okay. Thank you very much. And when does the ACLU just kind of go in half-assed?
Right.
That's not like the ACLU. It's like they had the day off of work the next day, and it was 4:58. Screw it. Just let them put it on the side.
Since when does the ACLU bargain? When do they?
Right. They're normally not fun-loving wheel and dealers.
When do they cut cut deals. Yeah, either it's illegal or it's not. Well, you're right. The lawyer probably just, you know, wanted to get home for the holidays.
The fine line of being offended is 2 feet down to the right. We found that out this past year.
All right, couple of minutes left here, Hammer. I know you're you and I are big NFL football fans, and you're very upset with the Cleveland Browns.
I'm very upset because now the 0-16 parade is not going to happen. You may have saw this trending on social media. There was a guy that had raised enough money and had all the paperwork completed, the city ordinances, the officers hired, the portolets installed for an 0-16 parade in Cleveland. And that was ruined because the Browns had to screw it up and win a game on Saturday, beating the San Diego Chargers. Now, as somebody that puts on events for a living, like myself, I was so impressed with the fact that he got all the paperwork done. Anybody can get the money and say you want to do it. My man had the ordinances, the insurance, the portolets, the officers.
We had the security lined up, the licenses, the affidavits.
Route.
Yeah. He had the route planned out for the 0-16 party in Cleveland.
It was going to start at their stadium, a.k.a. the Factory of Sadness, and was going to wind around the city square.
I can't imagine the Cleveland Browns organization had anything to do with this.
No, not. It'd be great if they did, though. It would be very Cleveland Browns of them if they were taking part in that. The 0-16 float with RG3 waving to the fans with bags on their heads.
All right. You are listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show. We'll do it again here in just a few minutes. The Hammer and Nigel Show in for Chad Benson. 844-DIG-CHAD. 844-344-2423.
The Chad Benson Show.